Hello. Excuse me, I'm rusty after being off for a couple of weeks. This is Eat to the Beat. I'm Sarah Obritis. We're here on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. We are sponsored, as always, by TechServe, fabulous independent Apple technicians and salespeople. So, Eat to the Beat is a show about music and food and other artistic endeavors related to feeding our gullets. We have a call-in number, so all of you out there listening today should feel free to call in at 718-497-2128, and you'll want to call in after hearing who I have in the house today. We have two great friends and chefs from Montreal, from the east side of Montreal, the French-Canadian side, Charles-Antoine Crête.
Hi, and really nice to be here. Thank you very much.
And Hugues Dufour.
Hi.
Are you happy to be in New York?
I'm really happy, actually.
We're really, really... I think Hugues is much more happy than I am, but I'm still really happy to be here.
Because you're
really
temporary.
Reunited.
Okay, so both are sous chefs, and Charles-Antoine works with the beloved Normand Leprise, whose restaurant is Toquet in Montreal, and Hugues Dufour was with Martin Picard at Au Pied de Cochon, PDC.
And say it.
That's an inside jargon. So why don't you each separately, please don't speak all at once. Why don't you each describe your these restaurants?
Well, please, Hugues, start.
Oh, you're so clever.
Please.
Anyways, I always have a hard time.
You hate to talk about yourself and
to define the restaurant, because it's hard to define. But like, I mean, it's a part of a Quebec food, which is like never really exist before. But it's we're mainly like
building it right now. Everything in life is a process.
Huh? No, but it's all about like serving foie gras, like a lot of foie gras, killing geese.
I'll interject and say that this restaurant, what, 80 seats, is the single largest buyer of foie gras in the world. Yeah. I mean, like, more foie gras is, I'm sure I'm mispronouncing it, but, more of this is consumed by you guys than even, like, through sales at D'Artagnan. Like, it's wild.
Yeah, yeah, totally, totally.
But we are the biggest buyer of carrots. you know that? Didn't you know that?
That's great. Touché.
We buy a lot of carrots.
No, but anyways, of course we're serving a lot of foie gras, but like we're also, foie gras, we're serving foie gras the way people in America would serve a hot dog. You know, we're making like hamburgers and hot dog and any other kind. So we're using foie gras more like a vehicle than some kind of iconic.
You gotta cut down the respect you have for foie gras and then ended up using it everywhere you want. You know, like it's like for foie gras truffle, like people like wants to use it like one drip there and there.
Exactly.
What they do at PDC is that they just use it anywhere, like on poutine, like on a hot dog, in the bathroom, like everywhere there's foie gras.
Yeah, whole fillets, whole half livers, rather than this. The perfect analogy is the truffle, where a shaving, is all you get. Speak about your place, Toquet.
Yeah,
and carrots.
And talk about this carrot.
In fact, like, which we do love carrots, especially in the dining room. But in fact, I'm like chef de cuisine at Restaurant Toquet, that is a Relais Chateau, like for several years in Montreal. We have like a big brigade. We have like 18 cooks that come from all around the world. A few of them, like my sous chef, Cheryl Johnson, the American icons that...
And by the way, he has stolen a few from the Pied de Cochon, but it's all right.
But it's okay. Like, I stole them and then I fired them a week after. So they go back to Pied de Cochon. It's okay. No problem. No, but like, that's a fun thing that like Hugues is saying, is that like we're like kind of exchanging, like sometimes we hire people, they hire people, and then we ended up like exchanging like staff. So like when they come from PDC, we have like to rebuild them. When they come from my place to their place, well, like they're in Cadillac, like pink Cadillac 1996, But what we do exactly is, it's like, for sure it's different from like what PDC is doing, but at the end it's like a cuisine of auteur, like a process of creativity. Like, you know, you can have like the same process of creativity, even if you put like foie gras with french fries, that if you kind of like flip-flap BLT tomato, like with like the bread being the tomato and the crispy bacon, at the end of the day is that there's a process behind the creativity, which is, I think, the base of integrity too. Because a lot of people, you know, like as Toke was more in the 90s, early 2000, and now in the 2000, like in Montreal, and then now it's coming out of Montreal, everyone wants to make a PDC to be trash or to be a Toke and a high standard, you know? But like, there is no feeling, exactly. If there's no feeling, no process, nothing's happening.
I mean, it's like taking familiarity and turning it upside down and making it absolutely like shockingly exciting. So, you know, some people would call that, you know, deconstructing, you know, the plate or like a familiar dish. But I'm sorry I interrupted you. What were you going
to
say?
No, I just want to add that, like, I first started at Toke, and my first job ever was at Toke way before Shaw get there. And, you know, I lost what I was about to
say. Listen, I'll
let's
give you
say,
a
luckily,
moment.
We're very different, but we both, like, have fun. And, like, at the end, like, food get a taste good. So if you put truffle or not, foie gras or not, if it's good, it's...
And, in fact, there is a documentary called De la Cure, which I'm sure you'll correct me. Please do.
De la Cure.
There we go. Meaning well done in English. It's about you guys. It's about Martin Picard and Norman Laprise, your head chefs. It's about your friendships, your adventures, and it's been directed and produced by Guillaume Sylvestre. And, first off, what's this double... there's a double meaning behind the title, well done.
I mean, we get to look at dur à cuire means, could mean two things, two different things. First, dur à cuire, it's like hard to cook, word for word, if I translate like that. But it also means in Quebec, tough people. You're tough, you're hard neck. So basically it.
And so whose idea was this?
Actually, you know, it was like first like Guillaume's idea, and like we ended up like, because first like Guillaume wants to make a documentary about like chefs in Montreal, and it was supposed to be like shown on like a Discovery Channel Sunday night, 26th of January at like 11:30. But then it take like some biggest proportion, and like some a big director of a festival in Montreal like saw the movie, loved it, and decided to put it as a film opening of the festival. And then it goes to Neon Switzerland, Paris on Champs-Élysées, to MoMA in New York here, and so no one really understand whatever was happening, but like we had to go everywhere and like have fun with the people.
I mean,
meet
Charles,
people, and it was
Charles
fun.
Had to go everywhere because
Hugues was pretending to be busy, like
too busy, you know,
cooking foie gras and a hot dog. No?
By the way, so yes, they got some local support in Montreal a couple of years ago. It headlined their annual film fest, and then Neon, NYON, that is, and in fact, they have the world's largest, most popular European documentary film fest. So it's a true wild success because it just wasn't supposed to be.
It was like a surprise for everyone because like, actually, like no one like even like got paid to make that.
Yeah, what went into finishing the film?
We thought it was a big, like, rotten turnip, seriously. And then it ended up that even Guillaume, the filmmaker, like, ended up selling his house to be able to really well finish the movie, which we thought it was really funny. But it's, I don't know, like, thing took place. It was good for us because, like, you know, if you get to play in a movie, it's fun to play in a movie that, like, that's good, that people appreciate. But it was also good for Guillaume because it kind of helped him to open up some door. And help him to be able, like, to go on some new project with, like...
And you guys and your stories and your wildness helped, was his vehicle, you know, towards that. So why don't, in a way, almost to sort of describe a little bit more about what the movie is about, what are your individual favorite clips or scenes, rather, from the film? And hopefully we can let our listening audience kind of give them a visual description of...
Please give a visual description.
A visual description.
So basically, Guillaume rolls around with these two guys because they're both the chef and sous chef are traveling the world, their kitchens, crazy challenges are in their way, crazy opportunities they're faced with, you know, trips to Hong Kong, you know, dinners for, like, you know, the Queen of England. No, that's not true, but you guys don't really like the Queen of England. But no, so anyway, here's a, here's your, what was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene, like, because I lived it, it was, it was more... More like when we went to Spain, like all that scene about like slaughtering pigs and stuff like that. And it was a premiere to show actually a pig being like killed on hair like that and like and transformed from scratch. So that was a highlight for me. But you know, like many things happen. Like Guillaume been like has been following us for more than like 3 years. And even more
non-stop.
By the way, Shaul can speak to this movie was aired at the MoMA, Museum of Modern Art in New York City, to a audience that was gripped, just loved it, except during the scene of the slaughter, the like old school traditional slaughter in Spain, people walked out. I mean, I'm
it's
like...
It's okay, like, you know, like, here in America, it's the same thing for, like, Canada or United States. Like, people are used, like, to... They accept, like, pig to be electrocuted every day in slaughterhouse, but they can't see, like...
Mean stone.
Yeah. You know, like, a respectful family that, like, follow tradition and then, like, ended up, like, slaughtering pigs and, like, transform the pigs, like, transform, like, from the tail to the nose, you know, and make something lovely here, like, in North America... We electrocute them, like put everything in the garbage except like a bit of the legs, a bit of the shoulder, and like the rack, and that's it. So I think, and to answer the question, my favorite scene, except the one where I explained Chinese to say not to let the potato go, it was really like when those boys, like Hugues and Martin with Guillaume, they're in the south of France. Near Madrid, south of Madrid, in Barcelona, and they slaughter a pig. Like I think it shows a great respect to the animal that we love to eat.
So obviously a powerful scene. So we have this movie is in French with English subtitles. We found a clip on YouTube, and you will find we found a little bit in English.
Don't stop and think about organization, communication all the time. Chanting speech as in.
Pas lâcher la patate. Don't let the potato go. Don't drop the potato.
Don't drop the potato.
You know, which is a bad translation. Like, you know, don't drop the potato means like don't give up. Don't give up.
Oh, there you go. All right. Lost in
keep
translation.
Keep on going.
Danielle Balloon makes it in this movie because you guys have, each of you have strong relationships with him. And when it was screened at the film festival in Lyon, we... had we all sound a little distracted because we are starving for our fourth bottle of wine, but it'll come here outside Roberta's Pizzeria and Heritage Radio Network. Is that wine? Oh, I thought, okay, so same bottle of wine, please, if you can convey the message. Awesome. I even wrote notes in the, okay, Martin and Hugues could not make it to Switzerland, sadly, because they were working on That's a new sound effect. Working on the Sugar Shack in Quebec. And a lot of people don't know that maple syrup comes from trees, just like some people don't know, you know, like kids don't know milk comes from cows or like beef doesn't come from...
Or fish from the sea.
Yeah, wow.
Fish from the sea.
Crazy, right? So you got a Sugar Shack, huh? And
yeah.
then you made it work.
Yeah, totally.
In spring, obviously, because
yeah,
that's
totally.
The season
it was
of...
It was the first experience. You know, we took over a shack, a whole shack. It was like... I mean, basically collapsing, like the roof was about to fall off. And so we took it over, renovated it, and started from scratch. We tapped like this year 2,300 like maple trees.
Because the shack came with a forest of maple trees
yeah.
behind it. The shack is not really just... like a shack or a boiling room. It's like a lodge. You can sleep there, dine there.
Yeah, in fact, the cook, like, because, you know, we get to understand that the maple season, the maple syrup season lasts for only less than 2 months. And, like, the cook would stay over, would sleep over to work, like, day and night. And so it was a great experience, actually. So we had to set up like rooms for them to stay, and other facilities like a shower and stuff like that.
And you were pulling, the sap like clear and like lighter than water. You know, it was coming out of these trees and into boil tanks that. Where yeah. they remain to be boiled.
Yeah, it's basically
some people
sap.
Just like me don't get the whole process.
Yeah, it's sap from the tree. We need like 40 shares of sap to make one share of maple syrup. We get to understand that. Cool. So it's all about boiling down the sap to get syrup. Mm-hmm. And like each day is different. The maple syrup like season lasts for 21 days, which is like quite. It's a little time
it's just
in a
short
in a year.
Period of time.
It's a short period, and it's really fugitive in a way because you never know. You mm-hmm. get to have night below zero and really warm day,
but yet you're so close to that precarious like the change of the seasons where
yeah,
like you risk
it's just
it,
like a wine making but in Quebec, you know, in hard northern country.
Well, we're gonna have you back on to talk more about maple syrup because you guys at Au Pied de Cochon and in your life will in general, you use a lot of maple syrup in your cooking, and it's like beyond that, it's a cultural.
You do
thing.
Have a sweet tooth.
Oh
my God.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to play a song, one of Charles' favorite songs by Boris Vian. And there's a story behind this
c'est
tune.
C'est le tango des bouchers de la Villette. C'est le tango des tueurs des abattoirs. Venez cueillir la fraise et l'amourette. Et boire du sang avant qu'il soit tout noir. Faut que ça saigne. Faut que les gens aient à bouffer. Faut que les gros puissent se goinfrer. Faut que les petits puissent engraisser. Faut que ça saigne. Faut que les mandataires au hall puissent s'enfourrer plein la dalle. Du filet à 800 balles. Faut que ça saigne. Faut que les peaux se fassent tanner. Que les pieds se fassent paner. Que les têtes aillent mariner, faut que ça saigne. Faut avaler de la barbac pour être bien gras quand on claque et nourrir des vers comac. Faut que ça saigne bien fort, c'est le tango des joyeux militaires, des gais vainqueurs de partout et d'ailleurs. C'est le tango des femmes vat en guerre, c'est le tango de tous les fossoyeurs. Faut que ça saigne. Appuie sur la baïonnette. Faut que ça rentre ou bien que ça pète. Sinon t'auras une grosse tête. Faut que ça saigne. Démolis-en quelques-uns. Tant pis si c'est des cousins. Fais-leur sortir le raisin. Faut que ça saigne. Si c'est pas toi qui les crèves, les copains prendront la relève. Et tu joueras la vie brève. Faut que ça saigne. Demain ça sera ton tour, demain ça sera ton jour, plus de bonhomme et plus d'amour. Tiens, voilà du boudin, voilà du boudin, voilà du boudin.
Nice. That was Boris Vian here on Eat to the Beat. HeritageRadioNetwork.com is the place to be to hear all this great music and great interviews like the one here with Hugues Dufour and Charles-Antoine Crête from Montreal Chefs and chefs and everything else. So we have like two major things I want to cover, but real quickly, Charles, what the hell is that song about?
No, but it's a song that because Boris Vian I love is like an icon, like a French writer that works for years with Henri Salvador that dies. Are you going to take off your shirt? Okay, I'm sorry.
It's really hot in here. I thought...
Oh my God, I was so afraid. I know it's
no,
hot.
No, I just lifted it.
I'm sorry.
All right, like I said,
so
we're tight on time,
okay,
but
so
I'm not
let's
stripping.
Keep on going, I'm sorry. So like don't strip and... So it's a kind of a metaphor between... It was like probably in the 40s that this song got written, and it's a metaphor of a butcher that doesn't want to go like slaughter animals, but at the same time, like I said, it's a metaphor of like someone that doesn't want to go to war. So and then, and I love it, and I find it funny to listen to it and even to dance when I
listen
to it.
Just get the meaning lately.
Well, what's funny is that you guys were both kicked out of cooking school, but ironically, that kind of jump-started your career. So, like, what was happening in this bureaucratic world of institutionalized education that sickened you or got you into trouble, but then also got us... You guys, us meaning like the world, us meaning like the eating public.
I don't know, like when you get kicked out, like everything do fine, they kick you out. So
they're not okay.
No, we don't. We don't mean school's bad, but I don't know. I wasn't meant to fit in a mold, and that's it. So I just I just left.
There's moment in life where it's important to fit in the mold, but it's important to fit in the mold of the people that you trust, you know? So let's say for Hugues, it's with Martin. For me, it was with Normand, but like maybe at school, it was not the purpose.
Yeah, I think at that time, I just got the best that I could get at that time from what they had to teach. And it was enough for me. It was too much. So I just like I forced them to kick me out.
Nice. And probably not surprisingly, I think your school, Charles, had like 8. You know, out of 80 students, you know, 2 are cooking still because they train them to be, a little plastic, a little bit, you know, driven by, you know, the shit.
They
want to
train people
TV.
To be like star chef. But the problem is that, like, none of them were star chef. And I think, you know, there's a preparation for everything. And, like, before, like, getting to the, you know, to climb the mountain, the fun part is not that much to be on top of the mountain, but it's the time that you take to climb. You know, like, 3 weeks ago, I went climb a mountain with my wife. And, you know, so we climbed the mountain, one stop, did the first stop at picnic, the second stop apéro, third stop we made love, you know. When we get on top of the mountain, it was okay. We're just very hurried to go back home, you know, go down. But, like, it's the fun you have by climbing the mountain that, like, makes it fun when you get on top. But that's, like, absolutely. It's the process that was cool, you know.
And I've heard you talk like that when speaking about the, you know, the gobs and gobs of stars or talents or, like, you know, deeply creative people that come out of Quebec, your province, you know, per capita, you have an incredible, I mean, from Céline Dion to Cirque du Soleil, and then to some of the more, you know, obscure poets, musicians, and other people that
like
the world
Dolan,
knows.
The guy, the young guy, the 20 guy years old that just won like 3 prizes in Cannes.
Mm-hmm. There
like
you go. Why? Do you think Quebec, this small little space, which is kind of a very big space and open wide, has produced so many beautiful characters in life?
I mean, I don't know, actually. Maybe because of the political situation, and maybe not. But, of course, we've been, like, restrained. We're insulated. We're surrounded by English culture. And also, for the same reason that, like, the French culture is still like, living up there. It's like, as we want to... you know, we have this famous phrase, but this phrase in Quebec, like, we're born with, like, it's, I don't know if we can translate it, but it goes like, born for a little bread, you know. So I think, like,
like, you're trained to be, to expected nothing. That's yeah. The thing.
So it's like,
such a small community.
So,
you know?
And it, like, it was just, tickling me, and like, I want, like, as Charles, we want to get out of it. And to prove to the world that we were actually born for bigger bread.
For a bigger bread, like a baguette.
Maybe for a sandwich. Baguette.
There's a phrase we have here called necessity is the mother of invention, which may or may not kind completely of, fit. Yeah. But, you know, that you guys, you know, you have an inordinate amount of resources, space to think, space to, you know, invoke process, you know, cultural, like, you know, feelings.
I love when you say so, because, of course, we got, like, a huge and vast space to think and to see further, also in a figurative way, you know, just like, I think it's been driving our way to thing also.
You're inspired by nature.
Like we said before, it's like, it's all about, like, the process, you know, like, let's say, like, for us, like, in a, maybe in a closure culture, like, when you get, like, it's much more fun, like, to learn how to do 10 different things with one thing than doing 10 different things with 10 different things, you know? So you got to be much more creative, but, like, also creativity need to be disciplined and organized, you know? It's not, like, coming from the sky. It need to be, like, disciplined, organized, and this is where the process start to take place, like, to accumulate, like, idea, like, accumulate life experience,
and that process
makes sense at the end.
The process you were talking about, you know, with your lover going up the mountain, you know, you said that the rest of the
we
world
did make love, you know,
Paris and New York, you know, we're considered, as you said, you know, on top of the mountain, but you guys enjoy climbing the mountain because you weren't born on top of the mountain. So I mean, that's sort of what you,
I mean, it's fun also
out.
Like to come out of like a world, a baby mountain, and like to climb the biggest mountain, like you see what I mean, like with confidence, but being confident, but also with surrounding of like amazing people that like can help you like to climb it, like it's just, you know, it's part of life. Like if everyone wants to just stay at the same point for their life, that's their problem. I think,
yeah, but
Rick,
it's a good
metaphor.
You,
you
know, we always saw the top of the mountain being at the bottom. And
all these figurative phrases.
Yeah, but why not?
We're gonna have to end our program. We're gonna end with a song. Hopefully, everyone will. Hopefully, you guys will return. Please do, because you know
I
so
will,
much about.
I will. Don't.
And we're here on Heritage Radio Network, where next week I will give our call in number if I didn't today, but anyway, thanks everyone for tuning in, and this is what song is this?
Malajube
-40 in Montreal.
Another Quebecois jewel. Bye, here's Eat to the Beat.
Bye,
saying goodbye until
ciao,
next
ciao.
Week